Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Another game without a win as Charlton battle back for a point against Pompey. Still though, we wait for the season to really kick start. Welcome to Charlton Live. Hello, my name's Louis Mendes. Good evening. Welcome to this week's Charlton Live. We'll be looking back at yesterday's 2-2 draw with Portsmouth at the Valley. Still just one win at the start of the campaign. But some signs of battle and fight a little bit in that game, but also some really concerning spells as well. So joining me to do that, first up, we've got Mr. Tom Walling. How are you doing, Tom? Back from your holidays?
Yeah, I'm all right, thank you.
Yeah, refreshed and ready to talk about Charlton once more?
Well, I was until yesterday's game, yeah. Which, yeah.
That horrible dawning reality that talking about Charlton includes watching them and then, oh, gosh, it's horrible.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, and also joining us on the pod is Mr. Mark Newbury. How are you doing, Mark?
Yeah, now, I'm slightly more positive, I think, so, yeah. You know, it's good to have some balance.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Well, I'd be intrigued to find out why as we go on throughout the show. So on tonight's show, then, we will, of course, as I said, look back at the game with Pompey. We're going to hear the highlights from Charlton TV shortly. We've also got a really weird press conference with Nigel Atkins where he breaks off halfway through to go and get a cup of tea off Danny Cowley. So we'll hear that later. We're also going to hear a little bit from Josh Davison, the goal scorer, of the Addicts' second goal yesterday. We've got your views as well. We've got tweets and emails and some audio from the fans bar. Then we'll have a quick look at today's women's game, 2-0 victory over Blackburn, hearing from the manager Karen Hills and one of the goal scorers, Emma Follis. And of course, we'll look ahead to Tuesday evening's game with Bolton Wanderers. So just before we hear the highlights then, Tom, game of two halves, probably fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I think at the end of it, I think a point was probably fair. That first half, or certainly the first half hour or so, was painful to watch. It was a nasty atmosphere. It was uncomfortable. And I think the crowd's reaction to the performance was pretty justified. We'll come on to obviously talk about it in a bit more detail shortly. The positives were that we rallied round. I think the fight in the players in the second half was there to see. The substitutions made a difference, which was another positive. But ultimately, I still don't think it's good enough against a team who haven't been playing well either in the last five or six games. And there were lots of worrying signs. I think McGilvery still had to make a couple of saves. If John Marcus was an actual footballer, then I think we could have lost that game or certainly gone in at half-time three or four down. So, yeah, more worrying signs for me than positives, personally. I'm not someone who wants the manager out just yet, but I'm struggling to see too many positives at this stage. But we have another game around the corner, and I suppose that's one that if we can try and build some momentum on Tuesday, that would be a good thing. But yeah, that first half an hour in particular, although we got it back to 2-2, that really concerned me yesterday.
Yeah, interesting. Well, I mean, Mark, you said at the top that you're one of the more positive people. So I'll put it to you. We've one win in nine games at the start of the season, just 6 points from a possible 27. We're sat in the relegation zone. Why are you feeling positive?
Well, I think this is one of those games that, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago at the start of the season or like a couple of weeks in, we'd have lost. We'd have lost quite easily and we'd have looked desolate and we'd have looked, you know, toothless. I think the fact that I've said before on the show that sometimes if you're behind and you come back for a draw, sometimes it almost feels like a win. And to get, you know, in the 87th minute, you know, an equaliser, it sometimes feels like a win. And I think there are shoots of green recovery, as it were. I mean, I'm with Tom. I'm not calling for him yet, but I don't think it's going to take much for him to be gone with Nigel. So I think there are definitely things there which I think you've got to say, you know, look, we have attacking. We've got attacking players. We've got people who aren't afraid now to have a shot. You know, instead of looking for a sideways pass, we've got people who are taking it on. And I'm thinking that we'd have lost that 3-0 a couple of weeks ago. And the fact that it is only a draw, only a point, and we are where we are, I think you've got to look at signs of recovery. And I think, you know what, it's not probably going to take much for to say, you know, we'll talk about clicking, and it probably isn't going to take much for them to click. But whether that will be with a change at the top of the ship, as it were, and a new captain coming in and steering it, we shall have to see.
Certainly. Right, let's have a listen to the highlights then of the game yesterday against Portsmouth on Charlton TV. Steve Brown was alongside Greg Stubley.
Ball inside to Tunnicliffe, who can drift inside Charlton's half. Looks forward towards Romeo, who controls. Out to the left to Curtis. Curtis has got Brown to his left. Curtis instead goes for goal. And it's a lovely finish. And Portsmouth had the lead after 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly the start we didn't want. It's a very good counter-attack. Well, it's not even a counter-attack, but it's the ball deep in their own half. It's a bit of a killer. We try and press hard at the pitch. They play a ball in between two of our players. And I think you said it was Tunnicliffe that received in turn. From that point, it's Romeo that runs off the right-hand side and receives on the inside channel. That allows him to switch play. I don't know why Matthews isn't coming inside a little bit to defend the ball itself. Let it go on the outside. You want it to go on the outside. You want him to cross it into the box that we've got manned. You don't want him to come inside on his right foot and curl it in the far corner. And as a fullback, it's very difficult when you're 2v1 against. But you always leave the least dangerous. The least dangerous in that particular situation was the guy out wide. So defend the inside channel, allow him to go wide, and then defend
Watson
across.
Watson and Lee are over it. Watson taps to Lee. Inside to Lecco. Tries to turn. Goes back out. He's got Lee forward. Lee in the penalty area. Lee with a shot. Oh, it's gone wide. I think it took a deflection off a Portsmouth defender. For a moment, it looked like it's just going to hit the back of the net. Instead, I think it's going to be a corner
Lavelle
to Charlton.
Gets back.
Just forces him back slightly. Bahana still with it. All across goal. Comes towards Marquis, who controls. Still with it. Marquis should have scored. Scuffs his effort. Had more time than he realised. And Charlton get away with one there.
Yeah, more importantly, that's going to do nothing for the fan base in the ground, and they're going to start getting a little bit grumpy, and they're going to let the team start to know that this isn't quite good enough. That's three great opportunities Portsmouth have had.
Lecco again turns, again can bring it forward. Lecco thinking about a shot, goes for it, and Bazunu dives across, and I think with his legs in the end clears it away.
Towards Arta, it's a nice flick forward towards Gilby. Gilby brings it forward for Charlton, out to the right to Lecco. Gilby continues his run. And Lecco finds him. Alex Gilby with the chance. And Bazunu again denies Charlton. Receives some treatment.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And there is the half-time whistle. As Charlton go into the
break of a one-goal deficit. Lee to take. Short to Clare. Clare scores for Chowan! Minutes from coming off the bench. At half-time, Sean Clare scores his first Charlton goal.
And you know what? We saw it Tuesday in reverse, where Charlton were dominant. And Charlton potentially could have been more than one goal ahead, but they weren't. And what that always does, it leaves the door half ajar for the opponent to come out and be on the front foot and get back in the game. It's a very well-worked free kick. Elliot Lee looks like he's going to cross it into the middle of the penalty area where we've got some good height. And he just cuts it back to Clare, who's coming on, and it's a decent finish. It's a right footer, it's low and hard, down to Bazuna's left-hand side, and it beats him inside his left-hand post. 1-0, game on.
To Clare, he's got space ahead of him, and Clare will run with the ball for Charlton. And he's still with it, Sean Clare. He's got space ahead of him, still with it, Clare. He's been fouled by Brown. Referee plays on as Lee on the ball for Charlton. Goes for goal, and Bazunu with the save for the near post. And Brown will get an obvious yellow card.
Leto for Charlton.
Turns. Will go for goal, and it's a powerful effort. And Bazunu gets his fingertip on it. And Charlton with the corner.
Yeah. And suddenly it's us in the ascendancy. We're on the front foot. We're looking a bit more confident.
Now Curtis, and Brown continues his run as Curtis drifts inside. Looks at Marquis. Nice little touch towards Harness with the chance. And Portsmouth retake the lead. A little back heel from Marquis into Harness, who converts. And after 71 minutes, it's Charlton 1, Portsmouth 2.
Now, I just wonder if that's made a difference to the substitution. Fairchild's looking like he's going back to get his bib on. He's sat back down. And if they had have made the change when they wanted to, I'm not sure that goal would have come about, because I'm pretty sure it's a Marquis who sets that up.
Again, and now McGilvery's Hurst applies the pressure. And Watson, who can turn, looks at the diagonal ball, cross towards Blackett-Taylor. That's a lovely ball, and Blackett-Taylor controls immediately inside the penalty area. Blackett-Taylor, ball across goal, Davison! There's the equaliser, there's the impact. Blackett-Taylor, lovely first touch to get past Freeman. Ball across goal, and Josh Davison's on hand. Charlton 2, Portsmouth 2.
Yeah, and I want to rewind that all the way back to the build-up in our half, because there probably was moans around the ground, a little bit of criticism, but as that ball went into Ben Watson, he's turned, he's taken a couple of touches out his feet, and you won't see too many diagonal balls better than that to put Blackett-Taylor in down the left-hand side. Like I said, when he gets the ball at his feet, faces up defenders, they backpedal. He's got the pace to beat him. He puts a brilliant cross in. And the one thing I know about Josh Davison, he takes up good positions in the penalty area and he can finish. I'm so pleased for him, because I thought his performance the other night at Gillingham deserved a goal, and it's great to see him get on the score sheet.
And there is the full-time whistle as it finishes here. Charlton 2, Portsmouth 2. A real end-to-end game.
There you go. That was the highlights from yesterday's game. Yeah, I think a point, probably a fair result, Tom, as you said. And I'm a little bit from sort of both views on it. Yeah, I thought the opening half an hour was dreadful. I thought we did actually come back into it just before half-time, got the goal at the start of the second half with Sean Clare coming off the bench. And yeah, maybe I felt a little bit it came against the run of play when Pompey went ahead. And we did really look like we weren't going to get back into it until Corey Blackett-Taylor once more sort of pulled something out the hat and Josh Davison was there. But so, yeah, some encouraging signs, but obviously it is another game where we put ourselves in a difficult position purely because, I mean, we could easily have been 2 or 3 down inside the first 20 minutes. I mean, we did have that chance shortly after the opening goal. But, yeah, there was large spells of that game where it was poor and large spells where it was all right. So I don't really know how to sum it up. Again, it, as I said after the Gillingham game, if we'd actually had a decent start to the season and then did a game like that, got a point at home against one of the bigger clubs, you'd be like, all right, yeah, I'll take that, see what happens. But purely because of where we are, obviously, we can't really afford too many spells like we had in that opening 20 minutes. I mean, talk about the opening goal. I noticed, Tom, that you were quite vocal about how Adam Matthews was overloaded, and therefore, I mean, that was his reason for not closing down. But then other people will be saying, well, he should have closed down anyway.
Yeah, it certainly sparked a bit of debate. I think I was Adam Matthews probably could have made a decision one way or the other. There's another podcast I listen to where someone says a famous quote about a guy who looks like that and says he's a man caught between two bus stops. And there was that feel to Adam Matthews. He didn't make a decision, but he shouldn't have to. And it happened five, six times in that opening 20 minutes where either him on that side or Soare on the other side, they were 2-on-1 so easily. And yes, Nigel says he changed it after 15 minutes. And yes, the last 15 minutes of that first half, we did improve. But, you know, I think this comes back to expectation. Again, Nigel Adkins, an experienced manager, a man who knows the game, I would suggest, certainly knows the management of the game better than someone like Lee Bowyer, better than someone like Chris Powell, probably better than most of the Belgian lot that came in between. And yet, for me, we seem more tactically inept than we did under any of those managers. And yes, he changed it. And yes, eventually we got ourselves back into the game. But for me, that opening 15, 20 minutes was, as I say, the atmosphere turned pretty toxic. And I get it. I felt like we were set up so wrong. And that's not the first time I've said that this season. And it just felt like he looked a little bit lost on the sideline. And it's not what I expect from a manager of that calibre. And so, yeah, I just put it out there on Twitter because I thought, look, Adam Matthews probably could have done better. Yes, he could have tried to show him, or he could have closed down the ball like people were saying. But ultimately, the damage had already been done by the time that player gets put through. And it was a good finish. You know, it wasn't like he let him wander through to the edge of the six-yard box and slot it past McGilvery. It was, you know, a decent shot from the edge of the area. So, look, Matthews could have probably done a little bit better, but there were just faults all over the pitch. And I don't know. I don't know if I just went into the game with the wrong sort of attitude or whatever, but my feeling yesterday just coming away from it was that lack of identity, that no knowledge about how we're supposed to be playing is just filtering through to the fans now. And I'm just finding that very difficult to watch because, as I say, I expected better from a man like Adkins, and I want to like him and I like his positivity, but it looked like men against boys for that first 20 minutes or so yesterday. And Portsmouth, as I say, are a side that hadn't won in 5 or 6 as well. And to perform that badly for that period of time, yes, we go on to get the draw, but I just felt I was so pleased for Josh Davison, and we'll come on to talk about that goal a bit later, but it almost felt like it was papering over cracks a little bit, and that concerns me.
Yeah, I mean, that overload on each side we saw quite a lot in that first half. And again, Nigel, he speaks about how, you know, once more they were playing through the press too easily. And we saw that with that chance for John Marquis, you know, an easy cross in the end into the six-yard box, and Pierce has gone too far ahead, missed the ball, and Marquis, I mean, he really should be scoring. It just shows again that we just seem to lack concentration at times at the back, Mark.
Yeah, that was strange with Pierce, because you thought, you know, probably the most experienced player on the pitch. And like Tom says, if Marquis actually was a footballer, he'd have buried that. I mean, whether it comes back to bite us later on in the season, you know, our grief we give him, you know, and rightly so. Tom said it, and I saw it a lot on Twitter with a couple of the other guys saying it was papering over cracks. And I'm not 100% certain, but you know, Nigel looked quite smug, you know, in the interview afterwards, saying about all the substitutions. I'm thinking, well, you know, you've made those substitutions because you got it wrong in the first place. So you shouldn't really be taking the plaudits for making the substitutions where you'd always put the players in a position where they're behind. We could have been buried by half time. But, you know, it just shows there is some resilience, and, you know, we are some players there. And I thought it was a very good finish from Sean Clare and for Davison as well. Because, you know, we're not easy coming across that side, sitting it with your opposite foot. And I was pleased. I mean, slightly worried about Corey Blackett-Taylor, because I know there's a lot of people saying that he was brilliant against Gillingham. Why isn't he starting? And them saying, oh, you know, we were hoping to get 10 minutes out of him. What are you doing putting a player who's only capable of doing 10, 15 minutes on the bench? I don't get that. I know Chuck's, you know, last season was a second half sub, you know, to great effect. But I don't understand where you're leaving someone like DJ, who we don't know if he's got an injury or whatever, who I presume is fit, against a player who you're thinking, oh, maybe I can get 10 minutes. That was the illogical thing for me when I heard that.
Yeah, I mean, we did push Nigel on DJ yesterday, and you'll hear it in the press conference. But, I mean, basically, there's no injury there. He's just not in the side at the moment. And you can hear Nigel's answer as to why that is. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, Tom, I did feel like we came back into it at the start of the second half. We got that goal for Sean Clare. Again, if I was a Portsmouth fan, I'd be fuming at the market from that free kick. How can you just let have someone, you know, just a simple pass to let someone have a free shot inside the penalty area. They're very poor. And I felt we were on top, actually, until Portsmouth scored. Do you agree with me there, Tom?
Yeah, I absolutely do. When they scored, like you said a bit earlier on, I felt it was totally against the run of play. And that 20, 25-minute start of the second half, I thought was probably the most positive I'd seen us maybe all season. Certainly against a better opposition than we've seen. And so when they scored, I did feel it was slightly unfair on us. In spite of everything I've said about how bad we were in large parts of yesterday. And you know, the crowd were right behind the team at the time, and it just felt maybe it was going to be one of those days where we could nick a winner. So when they scored, it did feel like the life was sucked out of everything a little bit. And that's where I do agree with Mark that, and I said this on Twitter yesterday, I felt like we kind of got that draw in spite of Nigel yesterday, which I know sounds ridiculous given the substitutions made the difference, but the desire and the hunger in the players and that resilience, that definitely was there yesterday. You could see that. And, you know, there have been players that have been called into criticism, you know, rightly so in some games, but they're not. I didn't feel in that second half they were hiding. I felt like they were trying to play the right passes, trying to play the attacking passes. Even that last guy, I've been actually quite impressed with Ben Watson in large parts in recent weeks, but he came in for a lot of criticism yesterday. But then he plays that lovely long ball forward to set the goal up. You know, I thought Clare had obviously been dropped for a few games, gets his goal. I thought he came on and made a big difference. Stockley is still a big concern. I don't know if we're going to talk about him more just generally, but him starting is just worrying me the more that we play him. So yeah, I thought that second half there were positives in terms of the resilience of the side and the way we played, but it's still not enough. And, you know, we'll hear from Nigel about what he's saying about pre-season almost and getting minutes into legs. We can't afford to do that. I know we did our business late, but as fans, we're not going to buy that as an excuse or a reason. You know, we're in the middle of the season already. We're what, 7 games in?
Yeah, I mean, certainly not for much longer. I did ask Nigel to almost put a timeline on it, which obviously he doesn't. But at some point, that excuse has to sort of fade away, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the players that he's dropping, DJ, I assume it's just being dropped. Kirk, you know, hasn't impressed so far. But they need to get minutes into their legs, but at some point, and this is where I come back to, I don't feel like he knows what he's doing just yet. He's going to have to settle on an 11 or maybe, you know, a 13, 14 with a couple of changes each week and just run with a side. Because at the moment that, and we've said this, what, 5 weeks now, that there's no identity. There's no knowledge of how to play. I don't know if we are a long ball team up to him. I don't know if we are a short passing side. I don't know if we're supposed to be using width because everything's changing every single week. And, you know, yes, it's his job to figure that out, but he should be figuring it out on the training ground so that he can go into weekends with an idea. But every time we take to the field on Saturday, we come off a press conference where he said, oh yeah, everything's been brilliant in training. And every Saturday now, I feel like there are periods in games, if not the whole game, where we just look utterly lost. And I just feel that identity still isn't there. And if he can figure that out, then as I say, I still feel like I want him to be the man to take us forward. But as you just said there, he's got a time limit and, you know, fans aren't going to be patient for much longer. So, positives again yesterday in spells, but not enough for me.
We should talk about that equaliser then. I mean, already mentioned there by Tom that the long ball from Watson, which was pinpoint, and Blackett Taylor, as we're not sports scientists, we always just think, well, just chuck him in anyway. And there was a lot of people disappointed he didn't start yesterday, but we don't know the statistics and the red zones or whatever it is the sports scientists do know. But what we do know, Mark, is that he came on and he made a massive difference once more. And so pleased for him and pleased for Josh Davison, who I think will feel unlucky that he didn't start. I mean, Tom mentioned there about Stockley. Davison played really well against Gillingham. We looked a different side when he was playing, came off the bench and similar yesterday. What more does he have to do to start more regularly at the moment?
I don't know, because, you know, Nigel says, oh, he's been fantastic in pre-season, blah, blah, blah. And then goes, oh, but you can sit on the bench. And I'm just thinking, well, what does that tell the young man? I thought he was, you know, great against Gillingham, full of energy, full of running, physical, you know, can push him, you know, use his strength and use his size, because he's not a small, slight thing. And I just didn't understand why you know, I don't see why you can't play them together. I mean, I know it's very archaic, but I've always been an advocate of a 4-4-2. I'm thinking if you've got wingers, Leko, Kirk, DJ, you know, Blackett, Taylor, you know, who could cause damage, and then you've got two in the front who can feed off each other. Okay, Washington wasn't there, but you've got Davison. Why not play him and Stockley together? This whole idea of playing one up, and like Tom says, you know, he was worried about us just hitting it long and Stockley nodding it on to sort of like no one running on. You know, you've got Davison's pretty decent in the air. You know, they can do those roles. I don't know what else he can do. I mean, I'd have started him, but it's a weird one. And like I said earlier, you know, we don't know. They say they're managing Blackett Taylor's health, as it were. And again, I just don't understand why you would put someone on your bench who you're thinking, you know what, leave him off for this game. Say, right, we're going, and then let him go for it against Bolton. Mm. You know, and it's saying if that's the way you've got, if that's when you want to manage players, take them out totally. Don't put a player who you can't trust for a whole half. I mean, say someone's been injured in the first thing and he's looking, goes, okay, put Kirk on. Okay, Kirk gets injured. What do we do for an attacking threat? And again, we're going to be stuck. So, I don't know. It's a strange one because they hide behind the, oh, you know, we're protecting them. And I think sometimes that's a bit of a just an easy answer.
Interesting stuff. Right, well, let's hear then from Nigel Atkins. As I said, it's a really bizarre press conference. Basically, Danny Cowley was in there doing his one beforehand. Then just as he got up to leave, he spied all the meat pies and the cups of tea that they give us at the back of the room, decided he wanted one, and then so he started making a cup of tea. So I was sort of like, well, let's just wait till he leaves. But then someone else just started the press conference. So halfway through the first couple of answers, Nigel Atkins disappears to get a cup of tea off Danny Cowley. So anyway, this is what Nigel Atkins made of yesterday's 2-2 draw with Portsmouth.
Yeah, it's football, isn't it? You know, it's the fans got right behind the players, which is massively important. It was a good game. Obviously, we've responded in the right manner. You know, we've conceded, from our point of view, a 2-open goal. So we've gone behind early doors. But the players have responded in a real good manner. Oh, thanks, Dan.
And two substitutions which paid off.
It was bang on half time. You know, half time we've. Let's just get this off, Danny.
Stop, Joe. So you normally have
cheers. Thanks, guys. See you later.
No. Cheers.
The life of a football manager. You know, we're all in this boat. You know what it's like. Sometimes when you're winning games, it's great. Sometimes when you're losing games, it's very challenging. So, but I've been in it a long, long time. I know what it's like. I know we do the right things. But from my point of view, obviously, we gave a poor goal away from our point of view. Elliot Lee's hit the post. We could have got back into the game straight away. Changed our shape after 15 minutes. I think that was important for us to get a foothold back into the game. And second half, made a substitution. Sean Clare more or less with his first touch. You know, a little free kick and he's gone and scored. And the valley was rocking, wasn't it? It was a fantastic atmosphere. Our players have shown great spirit again. You know, having a right good go for each other. We've conceded a second goal where we've had the ball in their attacking third. So we've been done on the counter-attack from that point of view. But, you know, as you said, substitution there. Corey Blackett-Taylor, he played his first 90 minutes the other night. You know, it was a big gamble even to have him on the bench because when a player as dynamic as Corey and an injury history he's had, I think, you know, we can't probably remember the last time he's played 90 minutes. But he's come on electrifying pace. And Josh Davison, who probably could count himself unlucky not to start today after his performance the other night in his first game, comes up with the equalising goal because he's been great all the way through pre-season. So, yeah, you know, it's a change of shape. Substitutes coming on and impacting the game and scoring goals helped. Great spirit amongst all the players. Fantastic atmosphere in the valley. We're disappointed we haven't got three. I'm sure the opposition are disappointed they haven't got three. And both of us have got to settle with one.
Danny was saying that he saw that you had to match up with him in the first half. Was there something in that opening stage that you thought had to change?
Well, I changed it after 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, our enthusiasm to go and press allowed them to get the first goal because we jumped too early and they've been able to play through in there. So, you know, a lot of teams are playing like with a three and a box in midfield and wing backs and a one and a centre. Then we talked about it. And one of the previous games we talked about, When we do our debrief, we, you know, lessons learned from previous games. So we knew straight away what we wanted to go and do. And the players adapted to that very well and got us a grip into the game, which is an important thing. And again, I highlight the way their goalkeeper comes out. But he's like an extra outfield player, isn't he? And then when you look at what we've done in the second half and how we've done it, the split in there, you know, it's... It was a good game of football, which has ended up in four goals. Atmosphere was fantastic, and everyone's working really hard.
You're trying to take that as a positive. Last couple of games now, you're starting to see spells and picking up the odd point here.
Well, listen, I've talked about it. It's like pre-season in respect of... Ben Perrington played his first 90 minutes the other day. Pape Suarez played his first 90 minutes today. Alex Gilby's played his first 90 minutes today. Corey Blackett-Taylor the other night played his first 90 minutes. He's now played a bit of time here. Arriata played 90 the other day. He's played 45 today. We've got a lot of players who are trying to find that level of fitness who's coming late for us through the transfer window. You know, we've got a group of players who want to do well. They're demonstrating yet again a great spirit for each other. We've got ability, you know, and we want to do well for Charlton Football Club.
It must be quite hard to find that line of, we've seen the amount of changes you've had to make because of those levels of fitness. And how long do you think it would sort of take to level out until you can sort of
you'd normally be looking at this as a pre-season period where players will play 45 minutes, 60 minutes, 75 minutes, building into 90 minutes. And we've got players who have come back have maybe not, have had an injury history as well. So when you add that up and maybe not playing as much time and the intensity that we're expecting them to go and play at, it's a challenge. But how do we get them to that level? We've got to play them. But there's only so much we can play them for because we don't want to get them broke down with injury. And we've got to get them to a level of fitness. So it's a challenge. I'd like to think everybody could see that. It's taking a bit of time. It's going to take a bit of time. But with a master squad of players that can do really well this season.
Blackett Taylor, one of those, again, came off the bench with some real energy at the towards the end of the game.
Oh, listen, I was desperate to start him, but I knew that would have been the biggest risk ever because he played 90 the other day for the first time in a long time, 45 the other day. The recovery period is a short one. You can see how dynamic he is. He has had an injury history before. We're just going to make sure we can keep him right, and he's certainly on the right track now, which is great because you look at the influence that he's had in the game today.
He's going to head to Tuesday with Bolton. Do you think it will be sort of quite a lot of changes again just to try and manage the squad at the moment?
Well, we'll be in the morning. We'll reassess everybody. You know, Connor Washington didn't play today from the injury he picked up the other night. I'd like to think he'll be available on Tuesday. But as I said, we'll be in the morning, first thing. We'll debrief the game. The fit and unselected will be training. And everybody else will be doing the recovery session in preparation to get ourselves ready for Tuesday's training session and for Monday's training session and Tuesday's game. So we've got like a full-on period. But everyone, you can see it. The players have shown a spirit yet again. They want to do well for each other.
Can I ask about DJ in particular? He's a player that a lot of fans are curious about because obviously he did start a lot of games. Now he hasn't been involved recently. I mean, is he just a victim of the size of the squad at the moment? Is he not playing his way back into your plans in training?
Yeah, because I really, really like DJ. we've got a size of squad. There's only 11 outfield players that can pick and there's only 7 impact players, substitutes, that can go and pick for any one game. And again, what I've talked about it, I've probably got 7 or 8 players who aren't even on the bench, who are training. And then when we talk about the young players that we had who made up the squad at the start of, or through pre-season, and I want to make sure there's a pathway for them, they're back training with the under-23s again now. So we've assembled a large group, but we've got to get them all to a level. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge where you've got to try and get everyone to the level, and it's a challenge where you've got to make difficult decisions, because the players we've got, I really like all the players. So I'll never ever be personal. I've got to make a decision at any given time that's going to be right to see if we can get a performance and get a victory for the here and now, but also mindful of the next game, Tuesday's game, Saturday's game, Tuesday's game, as we build through. And then over a period of time, hopefully, we've got everybody in a good position.
Cheers.
In terms of Harry Arter going off at half-time, how did you assess his performance today?
Harry's still got, you know, he hasn't played football for a long time, you know, so Harry's playing, he's played 45 minutes, 90 the other day, 45 minutes today, it's all going to be beneficial for him, you know. I thought Sean Clare's done well when he's come in, scored straight away, he's got that bit of energy about him, Sean, which is really, really good, and he's been out with an injury, You know, Sean's finding his feet. So again, we're talking about an Alex Gilby playing 90 minutes. Sean got injured against Crawley, I think it was, and he's been out since then. So he's been finding his feet to try and get back to a level of fitness. He's not ready to play 90 minutes yet. You know, so it's the interesting thing, isn't it? It's how you try and put it all together.
Do you think is Connor Washington likely to be available for you on Tuesday? Would you say as things stand now?
I'm hoping so. You know, he's you know, he was in yesterday. He was doing a bit of mobility yesterday. You know, we'll be in tomorrow and we'll just see where we go with everybody.
Just with DJ, is it fair to say that he hasn't delivered enough for you? Because the fact you've got someone like Corey Blackett-Taylor, who's a young player that's come in and seems to have seized the opportunity, does that reflect on DJ at all or not?
No, I think it just shows we've got a strong group of players coming in. And you look at Corey Blackett-Taylor the other night, you look at Corey Blackett-Taylor against Wickham, and you look at Corey Blackett-Taylor for the 10 minutes here. And I'm fortunate that I get to see them every single day in training. So I know what they're doing on a consistent basis. Now, ultimately, I've got to make a decision on who's the starting 11 and who's the impact to come off the bench to maybe change it, thinking that, for example, a player is probably can only play for 60 minutes. He might be able to only play for 45 minutes. So I've been going into games knowing that I've already made three substitutions before we even kicked off. That's not an ideal situation. So we've got to try and manage our way through this, which I think we are doing.
This league is so tough and hectic that one minute you'll bring them up to speed and before you know it, you'll be patching them up and keeping them going, won't you? Just
yeah.
Because of the amount of fixtures. And,
yeah, that's it. But I'd like to think we've amassed a squad of players now that we'll be able to deal with that situation. But as I've just said there, it's like that pre-season bit. You're trying to get everybody up to speed, but we're doing that in the season, which is always going to be the challenge, you know?
Yeah.
But I really like DJ, and I've said it before. You know, I've said, watch out for that man, Jay.
I think fans think that something's happened there. That's
not,
the reason he's
not nothing
well.
Whatsoever. Okay. I really like, you look at the wide players we've got. We've got Jay Simi, we've got Kirk, we've got Lika, we've got Corey Blackett-Taylor. We've got Charles Clayton, who I think's exceptional. He's gone back with the 23s at the moment. You know, you look at the game he played against Crawley. He got his gate, he came on and during pre-season, really, really good. So we've got wide players. Connor Washington, when we've been playing as a three, he's been playing narrow up there. You know, Elliot Lee started that position today. We've got a massive talent. There's only so many can play. Mm. We have to understand that. And ultimately, I have to make a decision.
Yeah.
And the beauty of football is we've all got an opinion. And it's all a talking point. And that's why you guys can have things to write. And the fans can have a beer, thankfully now, and sit and talk about football. I would have done this, I would have done that. Which is brilliant, is it not? We were in lockdown for so long, and we've missed this opportunity to do it. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's all about an opinion, you know? Ultimately, I've got to make the decision. And ultimately, there's a lot of things that go into the process to try and do that. My objective is to put a team out, one, that's going to be really passionate and entertaining and enjoyable for the Charlton Athletics to come and watch and win games of football. Because we all want the same thing, you know. So what I'm doing that for the right reasons. I'm privy to a lot of the information that goes on that maybe a lot of people aren't.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good challenge by Gunter, and Charlton can break here. It's 3-on-2. Jai Simi switches the play across to Washington. Washington, ball forward to Stockley. Can he get there? Stockley, still with it. Jaden Stockley! Charlton 2, Crewe 0. A great counter-attack from the Addicts. Washington, calm
composed on the ball. Fast forward to Stockley, who just let the ball run across him, takes it past Jaskalainen and finishes.
Charlton Live. Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. Just before the break there, we heard from Nigel Atkins. I think we should also mention, actually, the ceremony to unveil the mosaic yesterday for Seb Lewis, and literally a piece of art, but I thought it looked amazing. So well done to everyone involved with that, and it was a really moving ceremony, and both Richard Wiseman for the trust and Seb's father Lionel spoke really well. So yeah, it was a tough few minutes, but a really fitting tribute to Sebo. Especially whoever it was, he left a blue WKD at the bottom of the at the foot of the mosaic for him at the end, which is was his favourite drink. So well done to whoever did that. So I mean, Nigel Atkins then, Tom, he needs to start getting wins. I think everyone knows that, but it's just at what point does the pre-season? I mean, we've sort of half discussed it already, but at what point does the pre-season argument end?
Well, I would say now. If he wants Tuesday, maybe. But for me, it's not an excuse. And I feel a little bit... And, you know, we've had this debate a few times. What does it matter that he doesn't come out and clap to fans? What does it matter? You know, the kind of... I didn't see him particularly celebrate the goals. He might have done, and I just missed it. That emotional bond, it feels very distant as a Charlton manager. And maybe we've been fortunate with the likes of Bowyer and Powell and obviously Kerbishley. But I feel like that's a big part of Charlton's identity. And as a result, I don't feel like Nigel Atkins is going to get the patience that some of those managers would. And for me, he doesn't do a lot to warm to fans in that way. And that's not necessarily his job. His job is to manage the team, and I get that. And back end of last season, obviously, went on a run, and you know, he's an experienced manager. He's been in the game a long time. He knows far better than me how to run a football team. But I'm just not getting that connection with him or the team at the moment because there are so many changes to the team. And I feel, I don't know. I don't know if I'm speaking for more than just myself when I say all of that, because I feel like if there was an identity there, if there was a manager who had that connection to the club, if Jacko was in charge, for example, I feel like there would be an element of patience and of giving him that time. And if he came out and said, look, we did our business late, I wonder whether we'd give him more time. Now, that either means Nigel needs to do that more, or it means we're being unfair to Nigel purely because he's not ex-Charlton, in which case maybe we should be a bit more patient with him. I don't know, but it's a really difficult one. I'm just struggling to connect with this team at the moment. And obviously it would probably be easier if we were winning games. So, you know, we're in a tough spell at the moment anyway. But I feel like if we don't win the next couple, it's going to be tough for him. And I don't feel like that pre-season message is going to wash anymore. So, yeah, I feel like we said this a couple of times already in the early stages of the season, but it's a massive week coming up now. Obviously, a game against Bolton at home on Tuesday, and then a long trip away on Saturday. And if we come out of that with 6 points, you know, we might be here next Sunday in a completely different mood. But if we don't get at least 4 from those 2 games, I feel like questions are going to be asked and that pressure is going to ramp up.
Indeedy. Right, let's have a look at some of the tweets that have come in. Phil says, we want 4-4-2. We always play better with 2 up top. Tease Tracy, Flanagan and Hales, even going back to Laurie and Leary. Time to go back to 4-4-2. Playing 1 up top was Robinson's downfall. A lone striker has no support and any aerial wins go to the defence. KD says, might have battled back for the point, but it won't mean anything if we drop more points on Tuesday night. For me, Atkins has to go ASAP. It looks like a finish mid-table or maybe even lower if he stays. John Stewart says the second half was a huge improvement, more like the Charlton of old, whereas Big Tone says it was an awful first half where Pompey were by far the stronger team. We looked completely lost all over the pitch. Much improved second period, inspired by Sean Clare's entrance. Wayne slightly after the goal, but picked up again after Blackett, Taylor and Davison came on. Atkins knows we are a better team without Stockley on the pitch. Davison is proving he can run the front line. It's not Stockley's fault, but the team played differently when he's not there. It will take a lot of balls from Atkins to keep his captain Stockley on the bench But will he do it? Also, I want to add that we better offer Corey Blackett-Taylor a new contract right now. Timsey says, Pompey's first goal from the area we've seen before. A great finish, but our flanks are getting overloaded far too easily. The goal came from the team failing to press, letting Arta chase alone past it from the back to the front in seconds to score. The defensive shape is awful. Adkins talks about the shape all the time, but out of possession, our shape is really poor. It's like the players don't understand, Adkins, and we seem lost. We look better when dropping the press, but we still have opposition players running from midfield with no trackers. It's a tactical shambles. On the positives, I thought Gilby getting 90 and looking good. Davison goal and seeing Corey Blackett-Taylor carrying on where he left off. My feelings are as follows, though. What does Butlins and Charlton have in common? Their season ends in October. very good, Timsey. Cheers for that. Dave Boy said it was absolute rubbish. And Michael says, we got outplayed badly at times. We somehow fought back for a point, but until we start winning, we can't really say it's good enough. And then Martin says, are Adkins' excuses for our hit and miss performances valid? And do they justify why our performances have failed to get beyond 45 minutes of acceptable football? And I think we've heard there Tom and Mark's views on those already. I really think we need to start sharpening up our ideas. Right, here's one man who did sharpen up his ideas yesterday and had a good season actually so far. Last couple of games, Josh Davison started at Gillingham and changed the way we played. Looked very good, and then obviously got the last minute, well, the last few minutes equaliser against Portsmouth yesterday. Here's a little clip of our chat with him yesterday. You can get the full chat on the SLP website tomorrow morning, Monday morning. But this is what Josh Davison had to say after the game against Portsmouth.
Considering we went 2-1 down, it's a good point to take. The boys reacted well going down. I felt we could have probably got more from the game, but a point's better than none.
And obviously, you popped up with your goal at the end there. Nice little landmark for you. I think it's your first league goal at that end, I've worked out.
Yeah. My first one in front of our home fans, which is obviously always good to get. And my first league goal this season, which is good to get off the mark.
It's laid on a plate for you as well by Corey Blackett-Taylor. It's the sort of service that strikers can only dream of sometimes.
Yeah, them goals are my favourite ones. Little back post tap in. When Corey gets the ball, he's so quick, 1v1, so good as well. I know, just get in the box and it should come, and he's put me on the plate, so I'm happy.
Yeah, there's always, I guess at the back of your mind, there's always a little bit of pressure when you're that late on not to fluff it, so you have to make sure that you made it count.
Yeah, of course, you just got to focus on the contact, but 4 yards out, I back myself, so yeah, we take that.
I wouldn't back myself, though. I mean, it's obviously, you started on Tuesday and had a pretty good game and then come back in today as a sub. How are you feeling this season sort of going for you?
For me, it's been quite good. I'm learning a lot. I feel I'm improving every day. The coaching's been very good for me as well. Confidence wise, the boys are good with me, and I feel as confident as I can be at this moment.
I mean, how was it like in pre-season? Obviously, you had your loan spell away. Was it last season? And then, I guess you were told you were going to be part of the plans for this year. Is that sort of how it worked?
Yeah. So when I first came in, obviously, I never really had a chat with Gaffer before, and I was coming in basically as a fresh face, really. And he said to me, just show me what you got. I was done well in pre-season, and then obviously I was told I was going to be staying around, and that's the kind of faith that you want. And then I've got to try and repay it.
There you go, that was Josh Davison. Good performance from him. Mark, I mean, we're going to hear some more fans bar in a sec, but I just want to ask you, actually, just put you on the spot then. So obviously, Tom's probably answered this a few times already, but in terms of Nigel Adkins' future, because that is something that comes up a lot in the fans bar, if I was to put a gun to your head right now, what would be your decision?
He's out. As simple as that. He's out. Jacko's in with Jason Yule as number two. I think you'll get that, both new manager and Charlton player, ex-Charlton player, bounce. Jacko's not going to hide, and he's going to demand more. Maybe Nigel is too nice to the players, telling them, you know, you had such a great training session. You're brilliant. You're excellent. You can walk on water. You know, unfortunately, I mean, I think Jacko is probably more likely to put a rocket up them if they're not doing well. I mean, I think like Bo had that in him, and to an extent Chris Powell as well. You know, it's praise them when they're doing well, but when they're doing wrong, make sure they know about it. And I don't know. I should imagine sort of like being sort of like rollicked by Nigel Atkins is like having a puppy chew on your toe. It's not going to, you know, sometimes you actually need a Rottweiler to rip your leg off so you know about it.
Yeah. I mean, they'd play a lot worse if they only had one leg.
Yeah, but to be quite honest, I think some of our players with one leg, I could name players we've had. No, anyway.
Let's not get into that. Right, let's hear from the fans bar then. So Benji went into the fans bar after the game yesterday to ask you guys for your opinions on yesterday's performance.
Well, the first half, we was no shape whatsoever. I couldn't see anything going on. And the second half, most of the weirdest game I've ever seen, where like there was 5 or 10 minute spurts of like really good and absolute awful. And I think, personally, Blackett Taylor should have been on from the start.
It was probably a bit of a slow start in the first half, to a point where I thought we offered nothing. Second half, change it about a bit, but don't really understand why Jai Simi or Kirk aren't playing. There was not really any width until Blackett come on. Seemed quite disjointed and slightly unsure why Watson's on set pieces. Why Pearce is playing, I still don't have any idea. Looks like he looked like he was well off the ball today, if I'm honest.
In my opinion, first half, Atkins is getting all the stick for that. But if you're a professional footballer, the geezer's 20 yards from the box, and no one wants to close the ball down and put pressure on the ball. Atkins cannot be getting the stick for that. You're a professional footballer. It's League One, ain't a Prem, I get that, but you're a professional footballer. You go out, you close the ball.
Enjoyed
down.
It tremendously. There were 4 goals. We've travelled all the way from Cornwall to see Cheltenham play. It was one of those games where, at stages, I didn't think we were going to get anything. And at the end, we come away with a 2-2. And that's enough to make me happy. And hopefully, it will get the team to progress for next week.
I think at the end of the day, that we got the point rather, not luckily, but it just doesn't seem to be any coherency within the team. The first half, they seem to be strangers. They were obviously looking to perform what the manager wants them to do, but they don't have the ability to express themselves.
Personally, after the first half, if I was the owner, it'd be gone. But Tuesday night, I think one last game to see whether we've got the money to pay him off as well.
It's got to be another 3-4 games, isn't it? I don't think if he wins any of them, I can't see how we can stay. If I'm honest, I'll put Jacko and Yule in. We can't stay in a relegation zone, can we? We were going to apparently rip this league apart. And I knew we would get out of the league, but I thought I'd be going up.
As a bloke, he's brilliant. You can't vault him. Interaction with the fans, social media, everything, he's brilliant. He's what we want. He's a football manager. You're only as good as your last result. This week, he's had a chance to pick up 9 points. Wickham, Gillingham, Portsmouth. He's picked up 2.
I don't think putting a gun to a manager's head and saying in 3 games, if you don't win, you're out. I think what we should be doing is all working together to get the team further up the table. So I don't think we could actually say that personally. But there are factions or there are lots of supporters who want immediate results. And that's not always a given for any team or club.
He's a nice man. He's got his ideas of doing things, but they are obviously not working. And I think, unless we want to avoid a complete and utter disaster this season, then he will have to be relieved of his duties sooner rather than later.
There we go. A real good mix of opinions again from the fans. Well done, Ben, for going to get those for us, and thanks for everyone who spoke to us. So a real mix of views. Some willing to give Nigel Atkins a bit longer, some want him out right now, and I think that does show sort of the split in the fan base at the moment. Right, let's have a look at a couple of emails that have come in as well. Steve Richards says that Nigel said it was a good point after the Gillingham and the Portsmouth game. Really, against a depleted Gillingham side and an out-of-form Pompey, it's not good enough. Our goals and assists have come from subs, which points to him picking the wrong starting lineup. Dropping Corey Blackett-Taylor after positive performances was baffling. Too many changes in personnel and systems. Not his fault, but he has to go unless there's a dominant win over Bolton where the team plays well for the entire 90 minutes. Last chance saloon. It says, question, would you have Powell back with Curves as director of football? I mean, we always get tempted to sort of drift into the past, don't we, as football fans? But
you know, I'm not sure. I'm sure Powell's pretty happy with his jobs at Spurs in England, and Kerbs has been out of the game for so long, hasn't he? So not entirely sure I personally would, but I'm sure there's people out there who would. Right, Simon says, I get the fans calling for a change, especially with 6 points from a possible 27. But the season is not yet over, but it will take a terrific run of form to get back into contention. It's improbable, but not impossible. If we do change the manager, whoever comes in will have the same squad, at least until January, so we'll face the same challenge, namely getting the squad fit and trained in a way of playing. The worry with Adkins is that we cannot get a sense of the style and shape of the team, as we don't seem to have a core unit defined yet. Surely we need to start with a system and then freshen up with the creative pace that we know we have once the game spreads out. But right now, it just looks like a real mess. If we change, or if we don't, we're still looking at least another month before the team is fit enough and gelled enough to perform. We are suffering from the amount of new signings that we needed and their necessary late arrival. Looking at Ipswich, they seem to be having the same issue. It's never easy following Charlton, but things will change. Look at Brentford. Yeah, they're flying high. Which we are certainly not. Right, Craig says, hi all, great show as always. Cheers, Craig. Poor start again from the lads, but they did show some guts to get a point. I thought Adkins' time is up, but I don't think that Thomas Sandgaard will chop him so soon. We need to do much better. Corey Blackett-Taylor's been a revelation. We really need to tie him down. We go again on Tuesday. Up the Addicts. That's from Craig. Cheers, Craig. And then finally, Chris says, really mixed feelings about yesterday. The first half was poor, so narrow, which I just don't understand when we could play wide players. Second half, the team showed fight. When we had width, we were dangerous. Being optimistic, I hope yesterday is a small step forward, but Nigel needs to work out a system style and who to play very fast. A very restless crowd first half. It feels like this is very much still on a knife edge for Nigel. And that's from Chris. Cheers, Chris. Right, plenty to fit in today. Now, today I was down at the Oakwood. We're going to look ahead to the Bolton game, I think, just in a few moments' time. But today I was down at the Oakwood for the women's team, their second home game of the season against Blackburn. Let's have a listen to what happened today. And we're also going to hear from manager Karen Hills and from one of the goal scorers, Emma Follis.
It's cleared away initially, but Rutherford keeps the ball alive. Finding some space down the left-hand flank. That's a good curl. It goes into the back of the net and Rutherford gives Charlton a very deserved lead. 37 minutes on the clock. She deserves that. Charlton deserved that. They've got the lead. They've had to be patient. They've had to be resilient. And fantastic scenes here at the Oakwood as Rutherford celebrates with her teammates on the sideline.
Winter change of passes there. And Follis has beaten the offside trap. Can she take the ball around the goalkeeper? She can. Can Follis get the shot? She can! That is it! That is the second from Charlton. It's the substitute making her impact off the bench there. She did ever so well to beat the offside trap.
Yeah, really pleased, obviously, to get the bounce back from Durham, which was a very disappointing trip. But today I thought the girls executed the plan really well and came out, and always nice to get the 3 points.
Yes, delighted. It's great to get 3 points on the board and a clean sheet. I think it was a scrappy game, but we battled through, and then our quality shone in the end.
Not a bad way to mark your debut as well, to pop up with your all-important second goal.
Yeah, no, it's great to come on. It's good to get on. It's been a rough couple of weeks, so to be able to contribute and help the team and get on the score sheet is ultimately what I'm here.
I thought both defensives stood really strong in the first half. If I'm honest, it didn't look like anyone was going to break down. It was probably going to come through the set piece. But no, obviously Ella Rutherford does what Ella Rutherford does, and we see it time and time again in training. She picks up the ball in a fantastic area and obviously like hits that top corner, which we've seen many times before. But no, it took that to break them down. However, I do think we could have had a few more to make it a little bit more comfortable.
Not putting too much pressure on ourselves. I think, obviously, we know what the expectation is. Like, we all believe that within ourselves. And I think if you don't aim high, then there's no point playing football. So we've just got to take it game by game. It's cliche, but we want to just build on what we've got. We're a new team and just kind of go from there, really.
Our expectation levels of ourselves have shifted, and rightly so. Resources that we've now been able to access, I think it gives us a platform to be the best we can, and we can only control what we can control, and that's obviously within our camp. We've got a positive attitude, great culture, the environment that we've set is fantastic, and the players are doing everything we're asking. So no, we put our own expectation on ourselves, and we'll take each game as it comes, because this league isn't going to be I think you look at the results, and I haven't seen the results today, but I'm pretty sure that this league is going to be wide open for a long period of time. There's not going to be a team that runs away with it. Any team's going to beat anyone. So as long as we focus and concentrate on what we do, the performances will take care of themselves.
There we go, a lovely little 2-0 win for the girls over Blackburn. Ella Rutherford on the score sheet again. I don't know, probably a cross, maybe a shot, but yeah, certainly edged the Addicts ahead shortly before half-time. And then Follis sort of killed it off in the last 5 minutes or so, just when they needed to. I think Charlton were good value for it, but it's always a little bit nervy when it's 1-0. Rutherford nearly had another one from outside the air, and I think we saw Godfrey hit the post as well. So a good performance from the girls, and yeah, big game coming up in midweek, the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, last season's FA Cup carrying over to this season away at Brighton. If the girls can win that, imagine that, as FA Cup semi-final for this new group. A really exciting time for the girls. Well done to everyone involved down there. Right, so Bolton coming up on Tuesday then, Tom. Buzzing to be back down the valley again.
Can't wait. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fun. But they've lost, I think they've lost three of their last five as well. I know they're up in sort of upper mid-table, but yeah, it's at the moment, I feel like for the last few seasons, I've said there's no tough game in this division. I think at the moment, with the way we're playing, there's no easy game in this division. I think it's going to be another tough one, but I imagine we'll see changes again. Obviously, this time slightly more understandable with the game just coming in 3 days, but it'll be interesting to see who he goes with. I'd love to see Josh Davison start. I'd like to see Blackett Taylor start, but I suspect probably not, given what we heard him say about his fitness. But as that emailer just said, just a bit of width. It doesn't matter whether we've got Stockley in there or not. We need width either way, and I think we just need to go with our wingers. Again, like Mark said, I wouldn't mind a 4-4-2. I know Washington's probably not going to be fit, but going 4-4-2 and having two strikers and just having a go, because the one or two times we've seen that this season, we've looked a lot better. So, I always look forward to going to the Valley, however badly we're playing. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think at the moment, none of us can really predict the lineup or the formation every time. So, yeah, 6:45 when the team news comes out will be another interesting one, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 18 changes in the last three games, Mark, and you probably do expect the same on Tuesday evening. But I've said it every game now. We need a result, and Nigel needs a performance to go along with it.
Well, I did put out on Twitter that I did think he was literally just picking the team like bingo balls out, and like the first 11 came, put Macker in goal and the next 11. Again, like Tom said, you don't know whether he's setting us up to counteract what the other team are doing, or he wants to set us up to do to our strengths. I mean, I think he's caught sort of like twixt and tween, to if I'm honest. And it's hard to say who he's going to bring in. You know, I think Perrington will probably come back in. I can't see him changing the rest of the back three, back four, you know, with Pearce and staying where he is. Yeah, you know, midfield's another one. Does he bring Albie back in? Does he bring now Claire's, you know, got a bit of enthusiasm about him? Do he bring him back in? Charlie Kirk again. I mean, the interesting thing will be if he puts DJ anywhere near the squad. If he doesn't, then that's, I think that flies up a huge red flag for us. And again, I'd start Davison, but I'd start him alongside Stockley, and because I just think his enthusiasm, and you let the other team worry about you. You know, don't be worried about them so much. Let them worry about your strengths.
I'm worried about us at the moment.
Yeah, I know, and I can see that. But, you know, the advantage of, you know, that Terry and myself have is that we've watched for a lot more years and watched a lot worse teams.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it now.
Yeah, I mean, if you say that, but you know, this is surely the lowest we've ever been in any of our lifetimes, like in the relegation zone in League One. We haven't been in League Two before. So,
it's September. It's you know, if this, we were in that position and it's April and there's five games to go, yeah, I would be passing bricks. But it's not. It's September, and we know that any kind of like team can beat another team in this division. You can go on runs. You can go on losing runs of nine games. You can go on winning games of nine games. You can, you know, you can draw for nine games. It's that kind of division, you know. Would you honestly say that we've got the 11 worst players in that league, you know, currently in that team? No, we wouldn't. It's just getting the best out of them. That's why the manager's being paid what he's paid. And if he can't do it, get someone in who you think can do that. And that's the bottom line of it all. I mean, I think it's easy to be despondent because, yeah, we haven't played well, we haven't looked good, but there have been green shoots, and I think that's what you've got to hope on. People might think I'm deluded. Yeah, okay then.
Yeah, to be fair, I do take that there have been some good things in the last couple of games, but we all know that they need to turn to results fast, and hopefully that will start on Tuesday. Right, we've come to the end of this week's Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in and got involved with the show as well. Thank you to Mark and to Tom for joining me.
Cheers, Luke.
Yep, you're welcome.
Good to speak to you both. Don't forget, we'll be back here on Thursday evening to look back at that game against Bolton and then look ahead to Saturday's trip to Fleetwood. I'm going to say right now, can everyone please stop panic buying petrol because I need to fill the...
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Car up to get to Fleetwood, otherwise I'm going to have to buy a train ticket, which is like £500, so please stop doing that. Anyway, yeah, so thanks for listening. We'll see you again on Thursday. Charlton Live.